Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. All right, they're going to visit. They're going to visit someone in jail. And I believe that's the case, right? And we need to lift them up right now. Father, we ask you to bless them. Not for their own blessing, but for someone else. For your kingdom. As they visit that place, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Angels go in, ministering spirits. Holy Spirit, touch and heal and deliver through their visit, through the word that they deliver him to him. And we expect the kingdom to prosper in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
All right, I want you to say with me, it's already there, I receive it.
It's already there, I receive it.
Got that? It's already there, I receive it. So you're happy with whatever I say this morning, correct?
Amen.
One more time. I want to see everybody's mouth move now. You're happy? You're excited about what I'm going to say this morning?
Amen.
All right. I know that whatever I say can profit nothing. And I mean that. Whatever God says is pure profit.
Yes.
And I prayed this morning that before I sang the song, that it would be me that was out of the way and that God was in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That's what we expect. That's why it's already there in Jesus' name. All right. We do thank, especially Connie, and I'm not trying to hold Donna off, but I know how hard Connie worked. I was there. I watched her work hard. And then we do thank Donna for serving. A servant's heart always is rewarded, so she will be rewarded. So will Connie. So will my household, and so will you for being there. And we can go to anybody's house to eat. Guys are good at eating. But we don't like cereal. No cornflakes.
Well, we ate until we made a profit.
Do what?
We ate until we made a profit.
Until we made a profit?
Oh, yeah.
I know we made something. Oh, well, that's good.
It's a
good time together. Praise the Lord. I want to continue in the Already There series. This is kind of a basics Already There. I'm going to cover some things that that we forget. You know, sometimes we forget our salvation. We forget how important it is and how good it is, and we need to be jogged and reminded where we are and where we came from.
Right.
And I'm not up to, I'm not the one to remind you where you came from, but I am the one to remind you where you are.
Amen.
The title of the message this morning that God's going to deliver is Jesus Loves Me, My Needs Are Met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now last week we talked about provision, but that is such a small part of my needs being met. Even though sometimes it gets to looking large, In the whole view of things, it's a very small thing. We have many more needs. We are a needy people. The minute you think you're not needy, God reminds you of what it'd be like without Him. And then you really realize, I'm needy. We have to walk this tightrope of knowing that everything that I ever need, want, and desire is already there. Which, if that's all you think about, you will turn to a charismatic, egotistical being. You can never forget that it's already there because of what Jesus did. We owe Him constant praise, constant worship, constant consideration. Amen? Okay. The second part of that title, which doesn't need to go on the tape, is My Importance is Proven. I seek no other validation. Now, if all of my needs are met, I don't need your praise, I don't need your honor, I don't need your glory, I don't need your thank you. If I don't get that, my feelings are not going to be hurt. Right? Now, come on, let's get serious for a minute. If all of my needs are met, then there's nothing that you can do for me that makes me more important or feel better. I'm going to say it again. You don't make me feel good. Why? Because I say so. My mouth is telling you this morning, along with my heart agreeing, that all of my needs are met in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm not trying to be degrading. But I'm telling you, if you were here or if you're not here, that is still my statement. Why are you saying that, Stan? Are you trying to make us feel bad? No. We've got to get our life back into perspective. If there was nobody else in the world but me and Jesus, I'd still be validated. My husband validated me. I need no other validation. I need no other accreditation. I need no other title. I need no... A pat on the back usually means that somebody's after your pocketbook. Why don't we just get that down? I would rather hear you praise God 1 second than praise me for 10. Because then I know where your heart is. Amen? My needs are already met. I'm not looking for attaboys. I don't need it. Now that we are saved, now that we know, by the way, that's such a powerful word. Now that I know that I'm saved, how can I be destroyed? I'm one of God's children. Now that I know Jesus died to set me free, now that I know that God loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that I might live eternally with Him. You got that word, eternally? In my mind, if it's settled, in His mind, it's already settled. I'm not working for anything except to please Him. He gives me a lot of attaboys. What other proof do I need that I'm important? Come on. What other proof do I need to know that I'm important? I don't need to, for you to tell me I'm important, because I've got a higher one that's telling me I'm important. My goodness, if I depended on people telling me how important I was, I wouldn't be very important. Because there's a trillion people, and there's only a few that get close enough to tell me how important I am. There's a lot out there that don't know me. So if I depended on that, I'd be lost without hope. The other thing I can't do is depend on feelings, because we have an enemy.
That's right.
My worth is already stated. Did you know that?
Boom.
It's already stated. I'm worth Jesus.
Boom.
Boy, what if you weren't in this group of people that hear the truth a lot, and you heard somebody say, I'm worth Jesus, what would you think? But it's the truth.
Yeah, right.
I'm worth Jesus. I didn't say that. He did. God the Father said that. He said it before I was here, but it was already there before I was born. And when I was born, it was already there, and I receive it now in Jesus' name. My needs are already taken care of. Jesus. That's the answer. My life is already validated. Jesus. This sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And it sounds simple, doesn't it? Then why do I have so much trouble with this knowledge? Why do I have trouble walking in not knowing what I just said? Why do I listen to my feelings? Why do I listen to other people? Why do I listen to those things that might bring me down when Jesus has already brought me up? Why do I let such weak and inferior things, such as concern and worry, take me out of the hand of Jesus? Why do I do that? And we all do it, I'm not preaching down to anybody. I have to fight the good fight just like you do, but if it's already finished, why does God command to fight the fight? Because He knew that there was one that's after you. Not Him. He's got you. Why, if it was eternal salvation and could never be taken away, would there need to be a fight of faith? Why do we need to fight to stay with the one that has got us if there was no way to lose salvation? Does that make sense to you, or did I garble it? I want you to turn with me to Genesis A good place to go back to a beginning is Genesis. We forget how easy it is to lose our position with God. I want you to hear what I said again. We forget how easy it is to lose our position with God. You can't do it accidentally. And no man can pluck you out of the hand. Right? But you can make a decision that will do that. That's why it's called a good fight of faith. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to notice what is said right out of the box. Now the serpent was cunning. Do you think he lost that ability? How many of you know that Satan can come in many forms? And many times he doesn't even have to have a form. All he has to have is a forearm, which would be your mind or your heart. He can look like Peter, we found out. Peter was never described as ugly and traitorous, and he was a good man on a good cause, but he can look like Peter. We know that. He can look like an angel of light. We know that. He can be beautiful. We know that. He can come in Jesus and Peter's case. He can come in the form of a friend. He can come as a form, as a voice in the night. He's guaranteed to come before your success or failure, depends on which you choose. But we mostly know that he comes cunning. Do you know what that means? Comes cunning? That means it looks like a righteous position, or he sounds like a good salesman. He sounds wise and brilliant. Very seldom have you ever heard anybody say that the devil came to me sounding like a dummy. Right? Has a nice voice. He can sing like an angel. You do know that about him, right? He comes very strong in music. Why? Because that's a sensual thing. There's more sin involved in the music community than any other community in the world. So those people that seek music hard, I hate to say this, they're usually most vulnerable to the enemy. Now, I have to tell you, I love music more than anything. Anybody does. I love it. I sat there this morning and I heard a great pianist playing Take Me Into the Holy of Holies, just put chills up and down my spine. I heard this lady singing that had near perfect pitch. Don't know where she got that, but she got it. And I'm not only thrilled with being taken into the Holy of Holies, but somebody helping me get in with such beauty. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent was cunning, more cunning than any beast of the field, which back then there were not yet beasts as we know the verb or the word. You hear me? It wasn't roaring and growling and eating and biting meat. That's not the beast we're talking about. We're talking about anything but a human, which the Lord God had made. Do you understand that the serpent God made? Okay. I want you to understand that, because not everything that comes is good. Let me say it another way. Not everything that comes is good. Even if God made it. Did God make hell? How many of you want to go? So we know that God made choices in life, some of them not good. They come from disobedience, which actually ushers into not good. All right, let's go. He said to the woman, y'all ever heard of coming in the back door?
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to be mean, and I don't mean to be rude, but the devil loves to deceive women. He loves to. That's called the back door. He, in this case, went to the back door and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Are you sure he said that? Are you absolutely sure? Could it have been you misunderstood? Could it have been you were in the wrong spirit at the moment? Now, what happened right here at this moment was the first introduction to limitation happened. You understand that? Adam and Eve were totally free. They had total dominion over the entire earth. They could eat, use, partake of, enjoy everything on the face of the earth except this one tree. One tree. Why? Because God knew in that tree sin was already there. Well, what do you mean? Is there sin in trees? No. There's sin in rebellion. Choose that tree and you're already there in sin. Sin would limit. Did you know that sin limits you? The world teaches you that sin sets you free, but sin limits you. Adam and Eve, when they partook of that fruit, of that tree, they were limited in their life. Second verse, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Can you see this cocky little outfit saying, we can eat from that tree? Speak to the hand. Speak to the hand, speak to anything you want to. But if you eat the tree, you die. She said, we can eat of that tree. That isn't what she said. She said, we can eat all the trees of the garden. Then she said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor you shall touch it, lest you die. That's verse 3. Now, let me tell you what she said, and she was partially right. What she said is there's nothing wrong with the tree. Did you know there was nothing wrong with that tree? There was no poison in that tree. There was no death in that tree because death had not even been entered in yet. Had not even been given to the world. Death had not been given to the world. Only man could bring death into the world. God didn't do that. And she was right. She said, we can eat every tree, but God said, don't eat that tree. You understand the picture? All the trees are good, but God said, don't eat of that one right there. Why it was in the middle of the garden, I don't know, but that's where it was. You can't eat of it. You can't touch it. What, do you think there was poison on the leaves? No. Can I tell you something? And most of us don't like this. You free citizens of the kingdom, there are always limitations on you. Why? To give you a choice. If there weren't any limitations, you'd have no choice. Do you understand that? That's why she said, we can't eat of all the trees. She knew that that was not a limitation. It was a command. What is a command? To you people that are smart, a command is something that keeps you rich and healthy and prosperous and powerful. That's what a command does. Break the command and you lose all of that. Now, if you call that a limitation, well, go ahead. I don't. That's a formula for success. Nothing wrong with the fruit of the tree. It was good. Listen to me. It was good. It smelled good. It looked good. In every sense that God gave man, said it was good. Here's the problem. Here was the first test that man had in his life. Are you going to listen to your senses? Or are you going to listen to God? Did you understand what I just said? The first test that ever came to man was a good-looking, sweet-sounding honey called the devil came and said, let's turn on Oprah and analyze where this is righteous or not. God said, don't do it. He said, you go by your senses and you will die. Obey God, you get life. Her senses said, the enemy said, God made it, it can't be bad. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You know what he really said? God is not that way. God is peaceful. He woos me. Those same people don't believe they can go to hell. God is not a mean God. God is a good God. There's nothing can bad happen if I eat of that good tree. You know what? On your opinion. You need to tell yourself that every day. If God said it, it's the truth.
Right.
I don't care how I feel. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care what you say or anybody else says. Did you know that your senses will always yield to Satan? I want you to listen to me, and I want you to tell all your friends. Your senses will always yield to Satan. You don't look like you believe me. Your senses will always take you to hell. I mean, you could just eat that for a while if you want to. But if it feels good and tastes good and smells good, it's probably leading you to hell. Well, you mean nothing tastes? I didn't say that. I tell you what, there's some creme brulee up there in Central City that makes me, my eyes roll back. By the way, if I eat too much of it, I'm going to go to hell. Or I'm going to go to heaven quicker than I should. You know, it depends on if God says, stop it. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The key to this verse is you will know evil. Did you know that God's desire for us was to never know evil? But if you disobey Him, you will now have the knowledge, or you'll become intimate with evil. Now, every preacher in the world stands up and tells people that same thing. And people go right out and commit evil or disobedience. Why is that? Because Satan's still alive. Satan's still alive. Do you hear me? He's still your enemy, and he's still trying to tempt you, and he's coming through sweet sounds and sweet feelings and goosebumps and good taste and things that sound righteous, like God is a neat God. He would never hurt you. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? God wouldn't send you to hell. He's not that kind of God. Doesn't that sound good? Let me tell you something else that sounds good. I'm going to go over here to this other church because they're spiritual over there. They jump and shout and yell, and they make me feel free and good. Well, that's what the enemy does. God wants you to not feel free. He wants you to be free. There's a difference. He doesn't want you to feel good. He wants you to be good. Sensual doctrine. Does God make you feel good? Yes. But He doesn't do it by letting you do what you want to do. There's the rub. You think God teaches people to betray other people so you can feel good? I don't think so. You think God wants you dumb? You think that's what this tree was about? Because if you eat that, you'll get smarter? No. The smartest person in the world knows no evil. These people were the smartest people that ever existed on the face of the earth because they knew no evil. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now what does this say? That meant she went to the midst of the garden, walked right up to the tree upon persuasion of the enemy, said, you know what? That does look good. You know what? That does smell good. Ooh, it looks good. The senses go. The heart flutters. Can't be bad if it smells so good. Kind of like adultery, right? When she saw that the tree was for good food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise. Now listen to me. She looked at this and she felt like she would be smarter if she ate it. She felt like she would be smarter if she ate it. God said, you won't. You'll be dumber. But her senses said, you'll be smarter. Go ahead. I'm so excited. Woo-hoo-hoo. Let's dance. Let's put on chiffon and twirl. I'm so excited, this new feeling, this new place, this new church, this new play, this new song. I got to have it. I just got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. That's your senses talking. That is not the Spirit. So she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Well, what's bad about that? I can tell you what's bad about it. It doesn't mean naked. It means they realized they were lacking. They realized they were disobedient. They realized they were in trouble, but it's too late. Listen to me, guys. I remember I quoted that preacher to you the other day when he said, any wise man knows that you lie right now and repent quickly. Sometimes it's too late. I can tell you every time you sin, it's too late because there's been some damage that can't be undone. Their eyes were opened and they realized they had lost what they had. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They walked out from the real covering and they formed their own covering. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Listen to me. Can you imagine? I can't imagine hiding yourself from the presence of the Lord, thinking that that's what you need to do. They became sensual beings because of senses. You'll never be saved. You'll never be safe. You will never be accused of having wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you will never serve God if you consider feelings as a directive in your life. Did that come across? Nobody will even accuse you of being smart if feelings are a directive in your life. I feel like I want to do something this morning. We as Christians ought to be wise enough to say, then I don't want to do it with you. Because if you're going to operate by feelings, then I know that's not what God wants. That's not even in the spirit realm. That's the flesh realm. Let's just pause for a minute. You know what? I think God would approve of that, or I think God disapproves of that. That's the way we should answer. Jesus is not sensual. Jesus is not sensual. He is spiritual. Spirit is truth, not sensation. I caught myself saying to several different people, and it's growing in me. When a truth has been spoken, there is no response. You just say amen. Don't give me your excuse. Don't give me your opinion. Do you understand that God doesn't want our opinion about anything? He wants our presence, not our opinion. He wants our spirits, not our mouth. And He wants us to move on those truths. There's only one way to redeem or put back to a high place mankind. God said, they screwed it up big time. Understand that? So God gave Jesus to pay for our sins. That is how important we are. Now, in John, if you don't want to turn, you just listen. But John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. If you hold to my teaching, why would anybody have to hold to a teaching? We know earlier on, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says that the enemy comes to steal. That means your job is to hold on to. Too many times we take valuable things and they walk. When we were going to Kauai, we landed in Los Angeles. We just bought a CD player, I think it was. I think. And Connie laid that thing down in L.A. And she couldn't understand why it wasn't there when she came back for it. Why? Because it was valuable and somebody else wanted it. So they took it. So your directive and John here is to hold on. What does that mean? That means it can be stolen. What can be stolen? You hold on to my teachings. If you hold on to those, you are really my disciples. Now remember what I said to begin with. Who's going to come to steal? Well, it's easy to say Satan, but he's going to come in the form of not an enemy, but a friend. You don't like it? Tough. It's the truth. Satan is not going to come up and say, Chuck, I know you heard a good word Sunday morning. How you doing? My name is Satan. I'm here to steal. It's not going to happen. You're going to get a piece of gold from God and a phone call or a situation or whatever it is going to be made to you that is going to try to steal from you. And if it's not that, it's that stupid afternoon television program you're watching. That stupid soap opera or that dumb radio program that you think is good but is stealing your faith. If you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Not the minute the truth touches you. When you have learned to hold on to it, will it set you free. The truth is there. The freedom is there. All you have to take care of is the holding on to. Let me tell you what's not in the Bible. There's not one promise of a feel-good salvation. Look it up and find it. Tell me when you get saved, the next verses, and you will feel so good. Is it in there, Bill? Now, I will tell you that most of us, when we got saved, we felt better. I'm not denying that. But your salvation goes on for the rest of your life, and there's nowhere in there that tells you that the birds are going to sing louder, and the flowers are going to smell prettier, and everything's going to be better for the rest of your life. It's not in there. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to the truth. The promise is the truth. And you holding on to those truths, even though you don't feel like it, they'll cause you to walk in freedom and feel good about yourself and about life. Do you know what makes you feel good? When you feel good about yourself. And the only person that can make you feel good about yourself is Jesus himself. All the people, all the king's horses, and all the king's men writing all kinds of poems to you can never keep you feeling good. Only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that power that pulled Him out of death, that if that same power works in you, you're going to feel good. Because you're going to feel good about yourself. Your importance and your validation are already there. You need to step up to truth, walk away from sensual feelings, and be free from those satanic words that try to condemn you or draw you away. Now I'm going to read some more to you. Here we go. Here is your proof of your value. John 3:16-18. You can quote this with me or you can listen and remember. Hold on to it this time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's your worth. That whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not feel good, but you'd have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. No. Y'all are talking, or you're not listening to me. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. So where is the condemnation coming from? It didn't come from God. It didn't come from Jesus. Do you really want it?
Nope.
Are you going to start saying there is therefore now no condemnation? Every time you feel condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. You say it until there's no more condemnation. Every time you get your little feelings hurt, you say there's now, therefore, no more condemnation. I know what's from God. That's not from God. I cast it as far as the east is from the west. Go to hell, condemnation. For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, are safe. He who already, listen to this. I do. I'm going to slap you upside the head. You better not feel sorry for yourself anymore. You're going to get this. God, the Holy Spirit's going to come and slap you upside the head with this truth right here. Every time. He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who is in Him does not feel sorry for themselves. He who is in Him does not worry about whether they're good or not good. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned. What does that mean? If you go around with your chin down all the time, worrying about somebody accepted you, or whether you did good or bad, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. And if you just want me to be a little softer, then I'll say you don't know Him like you should know Him. But then I'm adding to the Scripture. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The reason you feel bad about yourself is because you don't believe what Jesus did for you. It hadn't sunk in yet. You don't believe that He cast as far as the east is from the west away your sins. Your history, everything that can drag you down, everything that can make you feel bad, Jesus took it on the cross and took care of it. Already, 2,000 years ago, He was already saying, you are free. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about if somebody pats you on the back. I'm patting you on the back. You'll never get value or proof of being accepted from the mouth of people. I don't care what Oprah says. And I don't care how many shows she has. And I don't care how much she deals with feelings. She's dealing with hell, not spiritual things. I don't care how good she sounds or how good it makes you feel or how many tears it brings to your cheek. Grow up. She's on her way to hell. You should be ministering to her salvation. She's not saved. She's doing the best she knows how to help people, which will never help people. It'll only make her more dependent upon her. I can put other names on there too if you want. You wouldn't like some of the names I put on there. They might be ministers. A minister that always is talking about your problems and your feelings, turn them off. Don't ever listen to them again. They're not bringing deliverance to you. They're bringing Oprah sensationalism. You will never get value or proof of being accepted from the mouth of people. There's too much flesh proof that you are no good. Did you get that?
Yep.
There's too much flesh proof that you're no good. So flesh can never tell you you're good.
Right.
It'll never get to you. Only by the Spirit of the living God. If you want value, if you want forgiveness, if you want validation, proof that you are important, you can only find that from God in Christ Jesus and in His blood. By the way, clear off the subject. Didn't you tell me your boss's Easter was today? Jewish Easter is today.
No, Orthodox.
Orthodox Christian Easter is today. Somebody's mixed up.
Well, they're talking about the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar. And that's where their big mix up is.
So now we're back into flesh trying to figure out when to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'll celebrate. How about we just celebrate with them every day?
Every day.
So you're right. It's today, it's yesterday, and it's forever. Just take away that fleshly argument over calendars and time and whatever. I thought about that. Connie told me that this morning. I thought, what? Now it's the difference between the sixth day and the seventh day. What calendar does a Sunday fall on? Every day? Every day. Let's get out of flesh and let's get back into the spirit realm and give us wisdom. John 8. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word," not "if you abide in feelings," are those that are talking to you, "you are my disciples indeed." Verse 32. "If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not your senses. Verse 33, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants." Now they're going to quote law to him. "And have never been in bondage to anyone." Now listen to me. He was talking to people that were in total bondage. Well, how do I know that? Because he was talking to them. And he said, "You need to be free." Are y'all listening to me? Jesus said, you need to be free. And you respond, "I've always been free." Then you just called Jesus a liar and stupid. That's what you just did. I don't care. If the enemy speaks through people, so do friends. I mean, so does God speak through people. And if somebody comes to you and says something to you that says, "You need to get saved," your senses are going to tell you, "I'm him saved." Well, then why did God tell you you need to get saved? By the way, we're all told that often. Just in different ways. Just in different ways. This message is to me, as much as it is to you, God speaking to me saying, "You need to get saved. You need to believe what I've done for you. It's already there. Take advantage of it." Said to the Jews, "If you believed in him, you would abide. If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth." They said, "We're Abraham's descendants. That means lawfully. You can't keep us out of heaven." Can you imagine a group of people saying by law to Jesus, "You can't keep me out of heaven"? Because that's what they're really saying. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." What is sin? That's yielding to your senses or your feelings instead of obeying the Word of God. That is sin. Started with in garden with a tree and some fruit. Don't tell God what sin is. He'll tell you what it is. If God says don't touch Oprah, you don't touch Oprah. Well, you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're right. You're going to find it in the Word that's written in your heart. If God tells you don't gamble, then it's a sin if you gamble. I don't care what your reason or excuse is. I don't care how good it looked, how good it sounded, and I don't care what prophet you thought it was. Are you hearing me? The Ten Commandments does not define sin. God defines sin. And He does it on the Word that He writes in your heart. I don't want to be a slave of anything, do you?
No.
And especially, I refuse to be a slave of sin. That's going to end up making me a slave of God, but that's okay. The pay is good. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, here's what Jesus did. I know by law you're a son of Abraham, but I'm telling you, you're not a son and you don't abide. Okay, why are you bringing this up, Stan? Listen to me carefully. I don't care what rights you think you have in Christ Jesus. If God ministers to you that you might not be a son, you get to be a son. You do whatever it takes to get to be a son. I don't care how righteous you feel. I don't care how holy you feel. When God walks up and says, "I want some improvement," you improve. Don't argue.
Amen.
Why? Because the pay is good. And if you disobey, the pay is really bad. Freedom and worth, they come only from God. Let me lead you down the Romans road just a second, just a portion of it. Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to go 11 verses because you need to get it here. There is therefore now no condemnation, or no feeling of no worth to those that are in Christ Jesus. How many do I need to point to today that still have some feeling of no worth? Huh? You know why? Because we haven't placed ourselves totally in Christ Jesus. When we yield totally to Him, there will be no more no worth in you. You're going to know who you are. It's going to set you free. Free from what? Condemnation? Struggle with self-worth? You're not going to have it. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. That means if you're in Christ Jesus and you're walking according to the flesh, you've got condemnation. What does walking according to the flesh mean? According to your senses and your feelings? That's what alienates you from Christ Jesus. From a sense of worth in Christ Jesus. But according to the Spirit, what does that mean? That means I have the ability in Christ Jesus to deny my feelings and walk with Him. But I can't do both. If I yield to my feelings, then I can't walk in Him free. Because I'm not walking in the Spirit, I'm walking in sensual behavior. How far do you want to take this? How many things are sensual behavior? Every time I want to argue with my husband, that's sensual behavior. Every time I don't take his last word as the last word and I try to convince him to do it different, that's sensual behavior. You're going according to your wants and your wishes rather than to the law of God. Every time I want, hey, that was sensual behavior when they said, we're in Abraham, you can't keep us out of heaven. That was sensual behavior. They weren't listening to the truth or the Spirit. They were listening to their own flesh. Sensual behavior. You're a single lady and a guy flies in from out of town and you just go to bed with him and then you get up the next day and you say, God woos me. I'm so good. I'm so... everything is fine. There's somebody ministering a lie and somebody believing a lie. You don't do what you want to do and get by with God. You're going to pay the price. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care what. You know what? You need to stop talking to those people. If somebody's sinning and you know it, you better start guarding your heart to their conversation. You better listen to me. You better listen to me. I'm not just flapping my gums here to fill this hour. God's got a message for you. Husbands, guard your house. If bad conversation is coming in, cut it off. Cut it off. Tell them no more. If there's disobedience there, you're going to pay a price. If anybody wants to argue, I am in the mood. Believe me, I am in the mood. Isn't it amazing that afternoon television is devoted to dealing with feelings? It's going to bring a tear. It's going to bring a familiar spirit, but it's never going to bring truth. For the law of life. Anybody want to know the law of life? All right. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh and the flesh in the form of feelings. He condemned it that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, which is truth. For those who live according to the flesh or according to their senses and their feelings set their minds on things of senses and feelings, flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the truth or the Spirit. You know what that means? We sang a song, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. And I can only find it in one place. I got goosebumps right now. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps to think about. You want my feelings to soar? Let me think about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And it can only be found in one place. That means I can't find it in afternoon television. I can't find it in friends. I can't find it in ministers on television. I can find it only in one place. One place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. I'm not going to find Oprah in the Holy of Holies. She's not even going to have a word, thank God. And I'm not going to find friends that call themselves friends, but they're my enemies. I'm not going to find them in the Holy of Holies. I'm going to find one voice, and it's not going to be human. It's going to be truth. Whew, man, that gets me excited. I'm going to be stroked in the Holy of Holies. I'm going to be lifted up as I exalt Him. I'm going to be shielded. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be prospered in the Holy of Holies. No place else can I get this, guys. No place else. I love your company, but you can't exalt me. I love you guys, but you can't lift me up. It can only be found in one place, and that's the Holy of Holies. And maybe if I spend enough time there, I'll be like the man that walked out, and you can't even look at him because of the glow on my face. But it won't be because I listen to television, and I won't be because I listen to Kenneth Copeland or any other person that you want to mention. I'm not against them. I'm just telling them they can't do it for me. When I seek God personally, I'm lifted up. The minute I go back into what I want to do, I'm dropped off. And if you don't think people can't see that in you, you're wrong. For to be carnally minded, my feelings are important, is death. But to be spiritually minded, the truth is the only thing that matters, is life and peace. I like what God's doing to Harry right now. I can hear him. I can hear him in his report of the Lord this morning, talking about guarding your tongue. Your life and death is held. Other people's lives and deaths are held in your tongue. Be cautious what you say. And I'm going to add to that right now. Be cautious what you listen to. It can kill you. Because the carnal mind or the senses is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Listen to me, guys. I wish I could tell every church in the world this and every people that are fooled, every person that's fooled by this. God doesn't move through senses. He'll never give you goosebumps so He can speak to you. He'll speak to you, and then you're allowed to have goosebumps. But you'll never get that reversed. It'll never be reversed. You're not going to find God by dancing in chiffon. Your dancing in chiffon is going to come from you finding God. If it's in you, you can take it anywhere. But you can't go anywhere and get it. Did you hear what I said? You need to listen to that cautiously. There's a lot of garbage being talked right now. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can be. God's not going to stomp your senses in the ground and say, listen to me. Your senses, as in the garden, are the only thing that can override God. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're operating by feelings, you can never please God. Why? Because your feelings are enmity against God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body or the feelings are dead. You mean I can't have any feelings? Uh-uh. You can't operate on feelings. We love ourselves too much. We love our children too much. We love our grandchildren too much. We love what we want too much. And therefore, we have nothing to do with God. You're God's when you love Him more than your children. When you love Him more than your own life. That's when you belong to God. Why? Because you finally understood what's important in life. And you ain't it. You're not it. Put me and God side by side, And I'm not even the mustard seed that's referred to in the Bible. And by the way, I'm only clear with God when I say, if it's me and God, you listen to Him. You exalt Him. You look at Him. Don't you look at me. Don't you listen to me. Now I'm clear with God. God, I don't care what my feelings are. I prayed that this morning. Don't you let my feelings come through this message. Only yours. Only yours. I don't care what you have to do, but only your feelings come through. I can get mad as angry as a God can get angry. But I don't want my anger involved in this. I want God's feelings involved. His opinion, His word. That's what sets us free.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Why did you run through that fast? Because I need to say to you, we've talked about that scripture too much. It's time for it to control you. It don't make any difference what you think is dead and you are worthless, or you are worthless. If that same Spirit that moved into a dead, stinking body in Christ Jesus raised Him from dead and gave Him life, then you ain't got no excuse for not walking in life. Because you ain't been dead near as long as Jesus was dead in the tomb. Let me tell you something, and I know you're not going to like this, but Jesus committed the sins of the entire world. Now, He really didn't do them. I'm not saying that. But when He took it upon Himself, He became intimate with every sin that's ever been done on the face of the earth. Every child molestation, every adultery, every lie, every stealing, every murder. He took it upon Himself. Now, does He have the right to feel guilty? Yes. Does He? No. Can I tell you something? Just the association with that sin could make you feel guilty. But Jesus didn't go. He didn't come to this world to get guilty. He came to take your guilt upon Him, but not get guilty. You don't have the right to feel bad about yourself. You don't have the right to be guilty about anything. Because if you still feel guilty after what Jesus did, you are calling Him a weak liar. He couldn't do enough and He lied about what He did. If that same Spirit, which was from God, so God's in on this thing. It's not just me and you and Jesus. It was God's plan from the beginning. If that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then your life is changed. Let's just make it simple. Your life is changed. Your mind is changed. Your attitude is changed. Your outlook is changed. Your perspective is changed. You don't look down on people anymore, but you don't give them your worth anymore either. You don't wait for them to tell you who you are. You already know who you are. Then correction can come to you and it does not destroy you. Because you already know who you are. You may not be perfect, but you're on your way. And if you are some of my stepping steps to get me there, then let's go for it. You just knock me around all you want to because nothing can destroy me. I have that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwelling in me. Knock me down and I'll get up. You hear me? Kill me and I'll rise. That's the Spirit. Put me down and I'll be lifted up. My worth is not in you. My worth is not in what you say, or bad or good. My worth is in Christ Jesus because I have that same Spirit dwelling in me. Hard to stay on the earth when that Spirit's dwelling in you. I don't know if we can do this. Romans 8, next verse, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What does that mean? Stop listening to your flesh desires and those people that are telling you that feel good is spirit. That the grass is greener over there, over there. Whoever's saying that is Satan. Whoever's telling you you're good where you are, here's some more truth, is God. By the way, Patrick, feel free to send this tape to everybody that's ever left this church, because they were wrong. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What's that saying? Well, you're led by truth. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. All right, let me draw that picture for you. I think you missed it. We walked into the Holy of Holies, just me and Him. It's a private affair. I don't have to ask anybody that's come, anybody that will come, anybody that goes, or anybody that has gone. Now, their opinion don't mean squat to me. I'm in the Holy of Holies, guys. And here's what I find out in there. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, you're missing it here. You're missing it. I don't know where you are, but you're not in the Holy of Holies, because when my God says to me, you're my son, what else can be said to me that would take me down? Who could take me down? I said to Rob yesterday, I said, Rob, I call you son. I don't call you son-in-law. I call you son because you're worthy. You know why I can say that? Because God says it to me. And it's easy to give away. Not easy, but at least I have it to give away. So what do you care what anybody else says? What do you care what anybody else thinks? I went to the Holy of Holies and He called me a name. It's called Son.
Right.
Huh. Do you know that's the same name He calls Jesus?
Right.
I'm now, He's not, no more is Jesus the only begotten Son. He has many begotten sons and I'm one of them.
Amen.
You're not going to take me down. Here's what else He says in that Holy of Holies. If I'm a child of God, then I'm an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer or stick with it. Did you ever see a feeling that wanted to stick with anything? Feelings don't stick. They drive. They push. They shove. They're rude. They don't consider truth. They don't consider friends. They don't consider anything. Feelings don't. Truth is the only one that will set you and somebody beside you free. That we may also be glorified together with Him. Oh. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to this. For this is the will of God. Anytime you hear a scripture saying this is the will of God, you need to study that scripture just a little bit, or let it study you. Isn't that cool? I never thought about that before. Scripture, either you study or it studies you. And probably some both. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you know, good's a person, freedom's a person, peace is a person, truth is a person, but by doing good, can I ask you something? How many times did you have feelings to do good? Or were most of your feelings directed to doing selfish things? For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Woo. Woo. We got a big job, guys. We got to do some good because there's an awful lot of foolish people out there. Sometimes us. Foolish men, foolish women. They're people that are seeking their feelings and their sensuals. Here, let me give you one. You need to get in touch with the feminine side of you. Well, you talk about a lie from hell. The new move in Hollywood is that every man has to speak real soft and with a little bit of a lisp, which I will not try to duplicate. Did you notice that? Nearly every man that's coming from Hollywood right now is getting softer and softer and softer. Why? Because they don't know the truth. And they're going further and further into bondage. Why? Because it feels good. It feels good. What was that gal's name? On TV yesterday, she just came out of the closet and illegally married another woman. Rosie O'Donnell. Another one of those afternoon programs that screwed up. And all she can talk about is a feeling. I'm madly in love with this woman. This is the woman forever. Woman talking about woman. And she said, I can't believe that the president and those people that call them Christians, call themselves Christians, want to put us in bondage. Wait a minute. Do you know how... But you see, that statement makes sense to senses. The only way you can stand up and say you're a foolish woman is for you to know the truth. Or those senses will contact with your senses. Do you really want that feminine side of you to attach to that feminine side of her? You know what your feminine side needs to attach to? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And He'll spend the rest of the time crucifying that feminine thing that moves in senses. In me and you. He wants you to move in truth. Did you know in the spirit realm, in the truth realm, there is no male or female? So we need to tear down these things that the world has built up. Tear them down. I'm not going to the feminine side. And the females in this place should say, I'm not going to the feminine side. I'm going to the truth side. Tell the Rosie O'Donnells of the world, you're a foolish woman. God can set you free. Verse 16, as free. Anybody here free?
Yeah.
All right, here's some instruction to the free people. You're free and my ears are red. Oh. Yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. That means don't hurt anybody with your liberty. But as bondservants of God, that is, you finally figured out that you're free in truth, in spirit, not in feelings. What are you saying, Stan? Listen to me what I'm saying. Your freedom, you can feel good about. You really can. But you need to understand the more free you are in Christ Jesus, the more of a bondservant you are. You no longer have control of you or your feelings. You just keep better and better, more and more every day, giving them to God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. If you want to be free and validated, Jesus. Here it is. Here's the formula. It's ready for you to take. Headship by God, which some have given up and are still trying to talk you out of. Watch your friends. Watch those that come a wolf in sheep's clothing. God has a governmental order. He's the head. Feelings have never been involved. How much do you think He loved Adam and Eve? A lot. A lot. He loved them a lot because they were the, other than Jesus, they were the first people that were ever created that never had sinned. So they were straight from His heart with no violation, no impurities. Can you imagine that? Man, He was madly in love with them, fellowshipped with them in the cool of the day. As far as I know, all day was cool. Don't let anybody talk you out of headship. It's the most valuable thing you've got. 1 Peter 5:1-11. We are a church that ministers to ministers. Don't make any difference what you feel like or what you think. We're a church that ministers to ministers. Here's what it says. Here's a directive to elders. The elders are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 2, shepherd the flock. Did you notice it didn't say, if it's comfortable, shepherd the flock. If it's easy, shepherd the flock. It didn't even say, if it feels good, shepherd the flock. It just says, shepherd the flock. Like it or not, shepherd the flock of God who is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Did you know a shepherd that don't get paid, it's the largest insult you can give him? But he keeps on doing it anyway. Why? Because he knows who he is, and he knows whose he is. And his pay, your pay to him, is not the important thing. Why are you saying that, Stan? So you'll have an example. A pat on the back is not what you need. Obeying God is what you need. Verse 3, nor is being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. See, one of the things that most people try to hold against me is they don't think I have much feelings. Do you know that? Well, thank you. Thank you. That's a compliment. After this message today, I receive that as a compliment. I don't operate on feelings. I operate on truth. That's what will set us free. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, that being Jesus Christ, you and everybody concerned will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.
Amen.
Verse 5, likewise, you younger people. By the way, there's a number of you that are younger than me here. So listen, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you being submissive to one another and being clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. Who are the proud? In this reference, it can only be one people. And that is those that resist headship. They no longer want to be under covering or headship. They don't want anybody telling them what's right or wrong. They want to go set the world on its edge with their own righteousness. But gives grace to the humble. I asked Tanya the other night, what is humble? What is humility? Because I'm not too sure what it is still. I don't have a good definition of humility. Because I can have what my dad told me, my granddad and my grandma, all those people, all the Sunday school teachers, I can tell you what they've told me, and it sucks pickles. If I was like them, you could never get anything done. Because they relate humility to softness. That's what Satan wants. They want you to understand that humility is softness. Well, the most humble person on the face of the earth was Jesus Christ. And boy, when he spoke, things shook. And he didn't mind grabbing some people and saying, you snakes and vipers, let me pitch over your tables. I'll make you mad. I don't care. You're doing wrong. That's what Jesus said. You want to do right? Chunk that stuff and follow me. Can you imagine a humble man saying that? Get off that boat. Let's get moving. Well, where are we going? You follow. You don't talk. I still don't have a good definition. Jesus is my definition of humility. I can just leave it there. I may not have all the understanding in the world, but I've made a decision. He's my definition of humility. Submit yourselves to the elders. Be submissive. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You like that phrase, due time? Listen to me. I am exalted beyond measure right now, quietly, by the hand of God. But the promise is, it's already there. You're going to be exalted in due time. You quit seeking exaltation. That means quit seeking somebody to pat you on the back and validate you. You're already that way. You wait until it's God's time and God's season, and then God will pat you on the back publicly. He'll bring that to you. Don't be greedy. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Using nice people, I might add. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. What does God require of you? Steadfastness. What does that mean, Stan? That means you be meaner than a devil. That means when the devil comes to you, if it's in the form of Peter, or your best friend, or the sweetest little person you ever met, If it don't sound like God, if it don't walk like God, if it don't talk like God, it ain't God. Jesus loves you now. He's already proven your worth when you were unworthy. Freedom is already there. You must turn your back on voices that will lead you from this place of truth. There have been those that have gone. They were wrong. Their life has suffered and will continue to suffer no matter what false prophets say to them. Truth and steadfastness give freedom. Feelings will never. Truth is a release to your joy, not people, not programs, and not sensations. Leaders, be leaders for the people. Husbands, control your TVs and your houses, relationships. Children of God, your worth is already there. Seek the only one that can exalt you. Turn your ear and your feelings away from all others. It's only can be found in one place. You want God to explain to you who you are and how much you're worth? Can only be found in one place. Quit seeking it at other places. That's whoredoms. You're either a minister or you're one that's being ministered to. Be careful what you minister. That was the word that Harry gave this morning. I added to it by saying, be careful by who's ministering to you. Harry's word will not clear up the word of the world. So the remaining part of that is guard your heart. It's one thing for us to guard our tongues, but we also have been given the responsibility to guard our ears. Sometimes, I hate to tell you this. And what?
And your eyes.
And my eyes, that's right. I hate to tell you this, but sometimes that requires breaking relationships. I don't care if you like that or not. See, when Peter was speaking to Jesus against the Word of God, that's what was happening. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, come on, let's just get real for a second here. If I walk up to one of you and I say, "Get behind me, Satan," are we still friends? But you know what I've done to you? I've laid down a gauntlet. What I just said to you is if you continue to operate in the verbiage and the feelings that you have, you and I are not going to be associated anymore. That's what I've said to you. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Peter was wounded. How could my friend talk to me that way? But see, the Holy Spirit was alive and real even then. And the Holy Spirit came to Peter and he recorded or he replayed the things that Peter had said. Peter was convicted by his own conversation and was changed. Why? Because the Bible says truth will set you free. And what Jesus said was the truth is you're acting like Satan. And that's not death. That's not condemnation. What that is that's correctional conviction given by the Holy Spirit. Now you have a choice. You have a choice. What are you going to do with it? Choose you this day. Life or death, blessings or curses. You have to make the choice. I've laid it out here, Jesus said. I laid it out here for you. You make the choice. I'm not going to make it for you. When Harry spoke the word of the Lord, saying, guard your tongue. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. You now have a choice of life or death, blessings or curses. You choose. You know how important you are to God? He still left you with a choice. He won't make it for you. But you know what else he won't do? On judgment day, he will not intercede for you either. He'll open his book and he'll say, according to my books, I never knew you. And it's too late. Too late. I don't want to be caught in that position. If the word of the Lord says guard your tongue, I need to guard my tongue. If the word of the Lord says your validation is in him, one place and one place alone, and that's where it is. You choose where it's truth or not. You turn your back on truth, and it's going to be a hellacious experience. I don't know why, but I feel the weight of that word right now. There's an extreme weight on you right now and me. When people leave this body, they leave truth. They don't leave me. I don't have anything to do with this. I may be up here talking, but I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy putting pressure on anybody. That's called the Holy Spirit. His name is Holy Spirit. You walk away from it, you walk away from him, you don't walk away from me. Listen to me. I'm set. Before the foundations of the world, when I just had a name and a count on my hair, I was set. And I agreed, and I enter into that set position when I gave my heart to God. Now he agrees with me and I agree with him. We're one. I can't be plucked by my own choice. I will not be plucked from his hand. And I'm not going to let somebody that's sweet talking and sweet smelling and good looking talk me out of it. Not my wife. Not my cousins, not my brothers, not my sisters, not my aunts, not my uncles, not even my enemies. God agrees. He's smiling on me. Is he smiling on you? Stand with me. Heart's clear? This is a very strong word this morning. I don't know if you recognize it, that was a very strong word. And the reason is, God does not go around flippantly giving strong words without there going to be a, let's just say, a situation to use those strong words in. We're called to minister. We're not called to repeat. That makes sense? And when God gives a strong word, it's to change you, but it's to change you for a purpose of ministry. And I've lost some really good friends recently. I hope they come back. Because if they don't, they're lost without hope. And it hasn't got anything to do with me being the high priest. Nothing to do with that at all. Because when I see somebody running from truth and going to a lesser truth, then this is a downhill beginning that has no end. The speed will get faster and faster because will be allowed to believe a lie. My investigation leads me to believe that a sin begins the downhill slide. You just don't wake up one day and fall off the mountain. You make a decision as in the garden to begin sinning and think it's okay. It's all right for me to have sex as a single person because I'm built with these needs. I have needs. Yeah, you have one need. That's it. One. He can fulfill all of your other needs. Anything but him and its whoredoms. And the enemy then comes to fulfill your needs. It'll come in the form of drugs. It'll become in the form of those things. A downhill slide is a direction to death. You have got some people. Part of the word this morning was you will hold some lives in your hands. Quit listening to those lies and begin to tell those lies. Tell them, I don't want to hear that mess. You're lost. You're losing more every day. You're going to end up in hell forever if you don't change your ways. You don't have to make them say. You just have to give the word. Some plant. Be somebody else that harvests, waters, cultivates. You and I, have been given so much. So much. To me, I don't realize how much we've been given until I begin to listen to television ministers. Until I go visit another church. And I get the goosebumps. Oh, what a mighty thing was said. Oh yeah, what was said? Tell me what you learned today. Tell me what words you heard from the Lord that will change your life forever. And if you can't put your finger on something, all you got was goosebumps.
Right.
Don't waste your time.
Right.
What were you convicted of today? Did you know that every one of you is convicted of something today during this message? Come on, you might as well admit it. Every one of us was convicted today by this message. Therefore, it was from God. And it's for profit, for him and you. I don't want to have a party. I don't want to go behind the barn and touch pee-pees. That's sensual stuff. I want to walk into the Holy of Holies and I want to get a finger pointed at me and said, if you'll change this, life will be better for you. And that does not require a browbeating. It's like the finger of God delivers love along with truth. Never takes you down, always builds you up. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. It can only be found in one place. What does that mean? That means when I walk into that one person, I'm going to come out more righteous than I went in. You hear me? More and more you will understand in your life that you are a righteous, holy person. Because you went there and you got righteous and holy all over you. It drove out darkness and it allowed you to have more light. Praise you, Lord. Once again, all hearts clear? I hope not. I hope you have to seek God now for days. I want that in my life. I want it in yours. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about that foggy mirror. I look in the foggy mirror. The picture I still have is that every day and every way I see a little more clear and a little more clear. And eventually I look into that mirror and I see Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I like this place. Not this place. This is the place that we're in spiritually right now. I don't want to leave. It's a good place. It's a good place. A place to bask. I want to get a spiritual suntan right now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Well, if I can't talk you into talking me into staying longer, let's pray. Lord, we love you. I recognize that what you told me this morning and that what I've delivered through your position that you gave me is you. It's truth. It's life-giving. It's abundance and prosperity and health all wrapped up in kind of a rough word. But we receive it with thanksgiving. We receive it with thanksgiving. We will have no other gods before us. We'll have no other words ministering to us, no other ministers but you. That our life is wrapped up in visiting one person in one place. Cause us to hunger and thirst after your righteousness. Not after people and places and things, but your righteousness. And it's already there. It's already there. It's already there. It's a buffet ready for me to walk in and partake of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heal, save, and deliver everybody in this place today. Encourage and set free by your word and by your power everybody in this place today. And cause it to be so abundant that it flows over to the neighbor on the left, the neighbor on the right, the enemy in the front, and the enemy in the back. That we cause friend and foe alike to be saved and brought into the kingdom. Not by us acquiescing to the ways of the world, but to obeying the word of the Lord. Not responding to senses, but responding to truth in the Spirit. Not on our own, but that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now dwells in us. Power and authority, enough to raise the dead spiritually and physically. Use us to deliver that now. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.